Thank you.
Inoho, please be seated.
Thank you for your indulgence. We're just trying to resolve printing issues. And just a reminder, if folk have summaries, should be no more than 10 minutes, eh? So the evidence is the evidence that should be pre-circulated. We've read everything. We've read the submissions as well. But summaries of evidence as a guideline, no more than 10 minutes. And there should be copies provided to the court. Otherwise, we've got logistical issues in terms of getting that printed off in a timely fashion as well. Okie doke. In your hands, Mr. Wolfe.
Thank you, Your Honour. I just want to start with understanding a little further this issue over concerns about not being able to expand the irrigation area. And I want you to hold a particular scenario in your mind. So at the moment, the council is intending to send a signal that great caution should be exercised in relation to investing in future irrigation infrastructure, because there's some uncertainty as to whether or not the same amount of water might be available in the future, and its new land and water plan, which is going to be prepared over the next couple of years, is going to be seeking to address that situation. So the scenario I want you to think about is, if a possibility in the future is that there might actually be less water available, would you rather know before you've invested in irrigation infrastructure that that may be the case, before you've incurred the financial burden of that infrastructure? Is it better to know that in advance of making that decision?
You lost me, mate.
I think I get what you're saying, but I'm a little bit unsure myself. But yes, but I would have thought that the council should have had that plan done, had that water land and water plan, and they've known water permits are coming up for renewal in 2021 for a very long time. That should have been done prior to this happening.
You and I most probably agree on that, but that is not the situation that, unfortunately, we collectively find ourselves in. So,
and who's suffering as a result of that? It's us, with a proposed six-year permit. No one can go anywhere.
I suppose the other part, what you're really saying, it's that block of land that you're irrigating. But what you're saying, you're asking is, if we're going to get a reduction in water, that's what you're talking about, do we need to know it in advance? Yes, and that's the problem with Plan Change 7. It says that there is going to be a reduction in water, and we're saying
that's been dropped, but limiting to the year. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So put to one side the concerns as to whether Plan Change 7 is driving that reduction, and the intention is that Plan Change 7 is not driving a reduction for the next 6 years. But it may well be that the new plan to come requires a reduction, but we don't know yet, and nobody knows the answer to that question yet. One of the signals that Plan Change 7 is seeking to send in terms of the restriction on the irrigation area is the signal that investment in irrigation infrastructure, even though that may be more efficient, those decisions should perhaps be held off for a period of time until there's greater certainty about how much water is going to be available into the medium term. And back to my question, isn't it better to know how much water is going to be available into the medium term before those sorts of significant investment decisions are made?
Probably, but this doesn't answer that. That doesn't answer that, though. By not allowing you to increase the area, irrigation area, doesn't give you any indication of how much water you're going to have available. You're talking area versus area irrigated versus litres of water available. They're quite separate issues.
So isn't it sending a signal that if using the literage that's available may enable, and we heard an example this morning, a doubling of the irrigable area from a shift from inefficient to efficient, if in 6 years' time it turns out that there isn't the full literage available, there would be infrastructure, so new pivots that simply can't be operated.
So we tried to cover that in our submission and with our notes when we spoke to it. And what you're effectively saying is the system is broke and that there is not enough water in the river. And my response to that is there's 900 litres at campground. Have a look at it. It is an augmented flow. I think you'll find that it is actually, there's nothing wrong with it.
So there's no need to reduce the irrigation allocation.
I think I'll move to another subject.
fair enough.
Right, I do want to understand a little more about your water permits and how the farm operates. So perhaps you could help me big picture understand the location of the two. Well, is it one or two storage dams? There was the photograph that had perhaps two layers of storage dam. Is that above or below Falls Dam?
Below.
The water used to fill those...
Can we show you on the map?
Yes, that might help.
This one's probably slightly clearer, so that's the Blackstone irrigation rice intake. It flows along the base of the hill. This is Omakau intake, which is actually directly at the end of our driveway. And we are in between the two, so that halfway between the two is where the storage ponds are.
Now, that's a surprise map put up over the...
It's disappeared, but same on here, but...
Who appeared those maps?
I know... Falls Dam up here. Our house is...
There you are.
Yeah, so
I take it that those plans aren't anything that you put up on the board.
No.
So who put them up on the board? You did, Mr. Page.
That's my fault.
Yeah, so this is the input-output for the Manahita Care as a catchment, is it?
No. These are plans that Mr. and Mrs. Smith will produce when they give their evidence, and we kind of thought we'd be there by now. So I put them up at lunchtime rather than disturb the flow.
I haven't spotted them.
They're prepared by LandPro, who are the consultants to Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and they will explain what those mean. The plans that you asked me to produce for the whole of the Manahita Care, I have sent those to the registrar this afternoon.
Right, good. All right. Who are you put those in evidence through? Who's going to produce those?
I have no idea at this moment. I don't have a witness this week who can produce those.
I'm looking at somebody back at the court. Sorry, I've forgotten your name, lady. Is it Jan?
Yes, I think you might be using Roger Williams, the operations
manager. He's not going to slip me evidence on Friday. So, but you could actually perhaps put them through.
Yes. Yeah. Well. Perhaps if my friends could indicate whether they're happy to come in by consent, then we can deal with the formality of who's they are. But they probably haven't seen them yet.
Okay. All right. Job for tomorrow.
Yes.
Yep.
Anyway, that's where those ones came
from. Okay. Right. Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yes.
Okay.
Did that answer your question? Sorry.
That requires me to remember precisely what I'd asked you.
Where the storage ponds were.
Where the storage ponds. Yes, so below Falls Dam, which...
Yes, they are.
I can't quite see, but the blue dot, I suspect, on that...
That one there is.
Excellent. Right. So the storage ponds are fed from below Falls Dam from a run-of-the-river take or from a race?
from the Blackstone irrigation areas.
The race.
Yeah.
And do you hold a deemed permit in relation to that water take?
The Blackstone Hill Race does. Yeah. The Blackstone Hill Irrigation Company.
And you hold shares in that particular irrigation company and take water, presumably pursuant to a water supply agreement?
That's correct.
Do you have any working knowledge of whether the underlying deemed permit held by the irrigation company is subject to any priorities in terms of its operation and exercise?
It's part of the Falls Dam agreement and operates under that agreement, which I'm sure you guys have talked about by now, as far as the minimum flows in the river go and the sharing of the water in the valley.
One of the challenges is we've had very little evidence about that, and hence perhaps some of the questions today trying to get a better understanding about how it's actually working in practice. So if you can assist us with that understanding, that would certainly help. So in a sense, you hold shares in the irrigation company, and does it work in terms of a roster like we've seen from some other witnesses today, or have you just got a straight litres per second take from the race?
It's a litres per second, yeah, continual flow. And as the Falls Dam empties or falls, and if restrictions are put on us related to the campground flows and we take restrictions or not, as everyone does.
So that's simply managed by the irrigation company under the water supply agreement?
Yep, through the Falls Dam Company.
So my understanding is those decisions are based on inflow above Falls Dam and how full Falls Dam is, with the emphasis being keeping those minimum flows that are agreed to, then the water available is spread evenly amongst all the companies. And when, you know, it goes 80% down to 80% available, and that can be right down to basically stock water and domestic only.
Right, so it's sort of it's prorated as those levels reduce.
I'm not sure if prorated is the right term, but everyone takes an equal cut. Yeah.
Yep. How much notice do you get when there's going to be a change?
Usually a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, might get told a day or two out.
Or if it's a, you know, you sort of know if it's heading that way, it's getting dry, dam's dropping.
And as those reductions occur, do you need to physically change some of your intake infrastructure, or is that actually managed by the irrigation company?
Our irrigation company's just managed internally, so someone goes up there and winds the gate down.
In terms of the irrigation company, how many shareholders are there along the line? Are there a number of farms that take...
Five
of them. And in terms of the rights as between those five companies, those rights are operated under the water supply agreement? There's no exercising of priority one versus another?
No.
Not on the Blackstone Irrigation Company race, no.
Now, coming back to your storage dams, when were they constructed?
Oh, I started building them. When?
2015.
And the three centre pivots, I think it was three centre pivots, when were they installed?
I've been put in over the last 4 years. Yeah. 5 years.
So they've been in for that period of time. So if you think about March 2020... was all of the land that you are currently irrigating under irrigation at that time?
Yeah, mostly. Yeah.
And if I asked you to show me on a map the maximum area of land you had irrigated between September 2017 and March 2020, you'd be able to show me that on a map?
pretty much.
Do you have a fair idea of the hectareage that would be under irrigation?
10% of...
480 was where my maths got to. That's about representative. And in terms of water metering, how's your water supply metered?
Post-intake from the race. From the river, sorry. Yeah.
And is that an open channel or is it piped?
Open channel.
And have you had any issues with your... Well, when did the meter get put in?
Oh, yeah, I'd have to say 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you've got a good record in terms of the historic data?
Should be pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, it's been the odd bit where it's... someone nicked a battery there at one point.
Yeah, and it wasn't recording, yeah.
Yeah, a few different things.
Yeah, right.
It is up there.
But it's a reasonable record, yeah.
Okay, those were my questions, thank you.
Thank you. Bart, have you got any questions?
No, I don't have any questions, thank you.
And you've heard everything from me, so... they're not your witness, though? No, they're not. Okay. All right. Anything else you want to add before we close off and let you go?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. It's been a long time on the stand. I appreciate that, but very much appreciate you.
We appreciate getting to speak to it. And, yep. Thank you for listening.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. I think there's going to be a bit of a change in the schedule now. So who's coming next? Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but maybe not. Yep. Unless they're ready.
Well, yep. Assuming that we're following the schedule, it would be Mr. and Mrs. Smith here, but again, I'm not sure whether that's the plan.
Mr. Cooper, who's coming next? Is it?
Your Honour, we're
Tamblyn.
Sending some availability issues, yep, with Ms. Tamblyn and
okay.
Mr. Gillespie. So
yep.
If the court would abide, we are hoping that
very good.
They could be... Yes, they could be prioritised.
Okay, so who's putting up their hands?
Caroline and
Richard Tamblyn. Oh, Tamblyn's, yes, you're up.
Yeah.
Yep, good, all right. And I think Ms. Tamblyn, you're giving evidence? Both giving evidence? Yeah.
Mine's actually disappeared off the iPad, so I'll...
Oh, right.
That's okay, I only had a small speech.
Yep, that's okay. That might have been mentioned, actually.
That's fine. We're just Caroline's evidence.
Okay. Did you file something earlier but it hasn't appeared on our website? Was that something that was... Or am I getting you confused with somebody
Not
else?
Not me. Not us.
Nope. No. Okay, good. All right. So we'll sweep them both up. Yep.
Mrs. Hamlin, for the record, could you please confirm your full name?
Richard Nash. You're talking. Richard Nash Hamlin.
Thank you.
I'm Caroline Mary.
Caroline Mary. Thank you. And Mrs. Hamlin, you've prepared and filed a submission on Plan Change 7. Back when the plan change was notified in 2020, and you have also prepared a summary of the key points that you wish to make from your submission, do you have you've circulated those written notes with the court just now?
Correct. Yeah.
And I understand you would like to read out that statement. And
if that's okay, it takes 7 minutes.
Very good. We'll get cracking, and then Mr. Tamlin, you'll just add anything in terms of any additional points, perhaps once the statement's been read.
I've got nothing else to add at the moment, Mayor.
Okay, well, we'll proceed to hear the statement, and then there might be some questions from either myself or from the court.
The first sentence, I want to acknowledge the consultants. There's only one in the room, our one, at the moment. They've been really helpful. And I want to acknowledge the local RC staff. They've been really helpful to us too. Right, we are Caroline and Richard Tamblyn from Coal Creek, Roxburgh. Our small operation is heavily dependent on irrigation to grow cherries and to finish lambs and make a bit of baleage. We source irrigation water from higher up in Coal Creek via a 2 kilometre long pipeline that comes down to us on the valley floor where we live. This recent gravity system has sufficient pressure to run our orchard sprinklers plus a travelling irrigation spray gun, and it saves us the pumping cost. In the expectation of gaining a replacement water consent, we installed the 2 kilometre long pipeline to improve the efficiency of our system, eliminating the pumping cost, and the cost of that pipeline alone was approximately $100,000. This pipeline from Coal Creek also supplies our domestic water. Just to give another bit of background, back in 2000, we established a cherry orchard that now produces export quality fruit. We wouldn't have put this in without a secure irrigation water right that we've been using over the past 21 years. We have a limited amount of flat irrigable pasture that we use the gun to put water on, and this guarantees us quality feed for our stock. The next thing I want to talk about is how it would have been so good if we had some collaboration between OIC and ourselves. Back here in August 2008, I was sitting here with our neighbour in a table behind me near the window, and it was the very first OIC workshop that I can recall going to, and we were talking about deemed permits. The mood in the room was that there was a lot of stuff to do, there was a lot of work, and that we would all collaborate and work towards getting this big issue sorted. And now we find ourselves at war with each other. I don't understand how we got to this point. Since 2008, OIC assured us that as long as we used the water efficiently, we could expect to have our deemed permits replaced by RMA water consents. It's only been in the last 3 or 4 years that OIC have gone back on their word. Never did we expect OIC to act in bad faith and betray us as they have done. I expected that we would get consents for longer than 6 years. I never thought they'd deny us less water than we'd already been using, and that there'd be an arbitrary date set of 2017 to prevent new irrigation. Now, I know some of that's moved on since then, so I don't think it hurts to reiterate the things that are important. I certainly didn't dream that it would cost about $117,000 for our group to lodge our application. The reason I'm talking about this is to explain why I feel quite angry about the situation that we now found ourselves in. Anyway, we can't turn back time, and this hearing is all about trying to find a way forward. I'll skip over the next pieces that are the parts of PC 7 that we feel are most unreasonable, because they have now been turned back, as talked about this afternoon. That's the retrospective ban on new irrigation based on the 2017 year. I understand that's gone. And using all of the available data would seem a pretty sensible thing to do when looking at all the irrigation seasons. And
hopefully we can use the same amount of water as we have historically to water our fruit and grass. We'll talk about the characteristics of our Coal Creek take when Mel's up here. He's in our group. And finally, the six-year term. I think that's something that seems to be immovable, but we didn't make our business decisions in six-year time slots. I don't know if it's already been mentioned to the court, but I wanted to, for context, quickly talk about the other things that are happening in the farming rural scene at the moment. I call them our RORI list. The court can't solve all these issues, but I think that the overall context of what is on farmers' plates at the moment is important. My number one is the Water Services Bill. Parliament intends to pass this next month, and this totally turns on the head, or totally changes the way that drinking water is allowed to be used. I've tried to summarise all the rules and the water services, what's inaptly called the acceptable solutions, and there's 9 pages of rules of how domestic water can be used in our situation at home. More concerning is that the Coal Creek Group will be called a water supplier and liable to huge penalties if we don't abide exactly to the rules. So that's one thing. I am very much in favour of farm environment plans. I think they're a great solution for many on-farm situations. There are so many variables in farming and orcharding, and there's no way you can have one size fits all. So I'd like to see better use made of farm environment plans. We haven't written ours yet, but I think that is a way forward. So that's another thing on our to-do list. The essential freshwater rules, and although the zero carbon rules don't apply to us personally, they do for many other farmers. So there's a lot of work ahead of us all of a sudden, in a short period of time, and now PC7's curveball has been thrown at us. Finally, it would be really good to see the important things that, as I see them, to focus on are the new water and land plan with ORC, and that would be good to have our eyes fixed on how we're going to move ahead with that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you can help me understand your water permit in a little more detail, that would be appreciated. So I understand you take some water from Coal Creek. Is that a deemed permit or something else?
Yes, it is.
And does that deemed permit record any priorities on it?
There are priorities. I know your next question is they've never been exercised. In a nutshell, there's been no need.
And how far does your memory stretch back in terms of the permits? How long have you been on this property?
More than 30 years.
And how many other users taking from the particular creek?
We've got 11 of us.
And when you think about the 11, where do you sit on the spectrum in terms of top of the catchment, bottom, or somewhere in the middle?
That's a difficult question, actually, because we've actually moved our point of take in 2018 to a different point of take still within the creek. So that probably changed our priority at that point. Prior to that, we were sitting up the list, and now we were probably slightly down the list.
Right. So as far as you're aware, there's always been sufficient water in the creek to fulfil the requirements of each of the different takers along the river. Creek.
Well, absolutely. I think there are occasions where we couldn't all take it at once. There is one orchard, for example, which uses a large volume if they turn it all on. And so it's just, you bring your neighbour up and just say, well, we're going to be irrigating today. Can you perhaps hold off?
And that's worked,
absolutely,
successfully.
Yeah. Yes. It's still something going forward we need to have a robust water users agreement, which we're still working through.
And when you think about that agreement, is that looking to capture the essence of that which has all sort of been happening historically?
Yes, well, it's a moving. To moving, you get new users of land, you get new landowners, and so on. So it's ideally something that's fair to all and usable and a simple system to operate.
When you think about your farming operation, I understand it's a mixture of cherries and some... is it some sheep farming?
Yes, it was sheep farming. We basically have grazing stock in one period of the year, and then we have trading lambs at another time.
And when you think about the irrigated area across your farm, I'm assuming the cherry block is fairly obvious where that is, and you could show me on a map.
Absolutely, yes.
And in terms of the other land, which is under irrigation, what's the irrigation system in relation to that land?
Oh, it's a hard hose irrigator. For most of it, pretty much all of it. And then we've got under-tree sprinklers in there. Under-tree, a mixture of under-tree and overhead sprinklers in the cherries.
So in terms of the area of land covered by the hard lines and the gun, you could show me on a map again that area?
Absolutely, yeah.
And that area hasn't changed over the period... that hasn't increased since March 2020?
No.
Thank you. Those are my questions.
Thank you. So on this interesting question of priorities, what I heard, and just correct me if I'm wrong, is that there are 11 users using water off Coal Creek.
Correct.
Yep. That there are some of those users have DEM permits, or all of them have DEM permits.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. But I am assuming, and this is important to correct me if I am wrong, but to date your experience is that there has been reliable flow that has enabled all users to take water, their share of water that they need for their farming activities, but from time to time... some have had to reduce those takes in order to ensure that everybody has a supply of water.
Absolutely. It's probably mainly in relation to one of the takes, which is has probably got a limit on how many litres a second it's allowed, and one orchard pretty much will use all of that if they turn on, so they can't irrigate at the same time as everybody else.
As everybody else, okay. Yeah. That orchard, is that an upstream take or...?
Oh, well, that's actually in a pipeline, that one. So it's just they can't turn. They use so much that they have to just arrange with the others to...
Yeah.
They're only turning it on from time to time.
Okay. Is that on a roster or as required sort of basis?
Well, it's something I'm not directly involved in, but basically they text each other and arrange and say, well, I'm going to turn it on such and such day is how it's supposed to work. But that's still, as I say, something we're working through, a robust water users agreement.
Yeah.
As into how that's going to work, but
okay.
The simple way is probably to say, well, your day you have a certain day of the week,
but
if you don't have that, you really have to communicate with your neighbour.
Yeah, and that's how it's working, is that there are good communications, and everybody understands that they can't be taking if that orchard is, using its full allocation.
Yes.
Yeah, because there's not enough water in the pipe.
Well, it's more to do with the limit set on the permit.
Mm.
So that if everybody uses it once, you're going to exceed that permit litres per second.
Mm. And all users who are taking water from Coal Creek are taking it out of that two-kilometre-long pipe? So it's everybody's off a scheme?
Oh, no, there's three separate takes.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
So, that 2 kilometre pipeline is just us, but there's a dam. There's four people are on that particular take.
So you've got 1 2-kilometre... you've got a 2 kilometre pipeline, and how many people are using or taking off that?
Just us.
Just you? And then what else have you got out there?
What else?
Yeah. There's three other people on
that particular water take, and that's from a dam, and they all have their own pipelines.
Yeah.
On that one, there's how many people on the top race?
Six.
Five or six on the top race, and that is actually, it's called a top race, but it's actually a pipe.
Yeah.
So they've all got, they all take out of that. And then there's an open race which serves three, but some of them, a couple of these people are actually involved in more than one.
Yeah, I gather that.
Yeah, it's a bit complicated.
Take it from where they can find it. Okay, so there's an open race serving three. How many pipes have we got from that dam in total?
Four.
Four pipes from the dam, and that four pipes serving four or serving six?
No, that's serving four people. So serving each person four. Out of the dam has got their own pipe.
Okay, all right. And your orchardist, your big orchard, is doing what? Has their own pipe out of the dam, or is it on
well,
the
orchard, we've got that 2-kilometre-long pipeline, so it serves both our orchard and our other farming operation.
Oh, yeah, but the one who has the big take,
Cherry Global.
Oh, no, the big take, that's Mel.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
So what was your question, sorry?
Mel's got, I heard that.
Sorry.
Mel has a pipe out the dam, or is he on the open race?
That's a separate take. It's a pipe from the race, so there's no dam, or it's only a very small dam that feeds that pipe. So it's an open feed from the creek.
Excuse me, yep. Mel's here. Can we ask to go to the second part with Coal Creek Group in Sweden?
Yeah. Okay, just trying to get a picture in my mind as to what's... what is happening. I guess the question for me is, those good relationships which seem to be meeting everyone's needs and have been for some time, are those relationships under the priorities? Or are they relationships which actually community are formed just because they're pragmatic and you can all...
Well, it is the pragmatic thing. And these things change because you get new owners and properties. Mm. And, of course, every time you get a new owner, you've got to re-educate people how things are working. And it's always different.
Mm. Okay.
So, I think everybody at the end of the day wants these things to work, so... We're probably fortunate that we've got quite good flows...
Yeah.
There to begin with.
And that seems to be one of the elements in terms of whether you have how this thing works is how reliable are your flows and stresses that people are under or not under, as the case might be, and the need to call on those priorities.
Obviously, the less water, the more stress.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's really helpful.
Yeah.
Commissioners, have you got any questions?
No, I don't understand.
I had a couple of questions. When was the pipeline put in?
2018.
And does it flow? Is it across other people's land?
We've got easements in place for all that.
Okay. And you had to get a consent from the council for it, did you?
We had our existing consents out of Coal Creek, and we were granted the use of the late Mr. Ken Harlow, which allowed us to use a dam that he had installed.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to council and said, well, can we transfer our water rights to use them from that point of take? And they said, sorry, no, it has to be done as part of this process.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mr. Harlow came back to me and said, well, I'll grant you just a share of my water right, which he did.
Mm-hmm.
And that allowed us to install it and carry on. But as part of this process, we were going to relinquish the old rights we had in favour of taking it from where we are now.
Okay, and the second question I had, I noticed in the submission you made earlier, talked about water for frostbiting.
Correct.
Does that take a lot of water?
It's roughly about 5.5 litres per hour, millimetres per hour. But it's the problem is you're doing all, if you've got a big orchard, you're doing it all at once.
And are you in competition with others for the water at the same time?
Oh, well, our orchard's relatively small now, so the requirement's quite low. But no, there's plenty. And then there's at times when there's high flows in Coal Creek as well.
There's enough water to service everyone.
One of the main users who would have historically been using water for frostfighting is now using solely wind machines.
Mm.
So that, there's a lot less frostfighting being done with water than there was.
Mm. So there's enough water to go around to do that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's all I had. Thank you, Your Honour.
Okay, thank you. Anything arising from the court's questions? All right. Well, thank you very much for your evidence.
Thank you.
Do you want to add something?
Can we ask Mel to come up? Two of the other people in our group have lost their nerve and they've gone. but Mel's here.
Okay, well, I don't have a problem with that. Mel should come. Mel's the chap with the big orchard.
Well, with who occasionally needs to take a large flow
on
an instantaneous basis.
Right. Any problems with that? No? No? Okay. All right.
Oh, he's coming with it.
Oh, Mel, hi. So, do you want to come up and give some evidence about how Coal Creek works? It's really important that we understand it in terms of why does it work really smoothly in some places, but we're told it's going to be complete chaos in others. So, but what we'll do is we'll swear you in first because it's going to be by way of evidence.
I can talk to that if you want.
Mel, can we have your full name for the record, please?
My full name is Malkeet and my surname is Dylan. I apologise for my accent.
You don't need to apologise for that. We'd like to understand and be grateful if you would share your understanding of how the Coal Creek Water Users Group is operating in practice. And we've heard some evidence today that water rights from Coal Creek are being exercised in a way where there's sufficient water for each of the users when they require the water, but then there's some communication that occurs as between those users to make sure that there is enough water to go around.
Yeah, that's correct.
So how long have you been farming or operating in the area?
I bought this orchard 2 years ago, and this is my first year, which I regret it now, to be honest. My concern with the whole thing is the frostfighting. It takes quite a lot of water. Under the new plan, council is saying they're going to cut that into half. That means I cannot frostfight the whole crop. That means I have to be selective which crop I have to frostfight this year. And unfortunately, I don't have ESP, so I will know that this crop is going to be good this year or the other crop is going to be good. And all I want to know, I totally understand council's point of view that the water restriction has to come into play. But how do you know, as a council, that we're going to have less water in 6 years' time?
Right, well, unpack that. There are a few parts to that. So one part you mentioned was that there would only be enough water for half of the... Now, correct me, is it a cherry orchard or what's that?
I've got cherries and apricots.
Cherries and apricots. Yes. And how long have those trees been in the ground?
80 years now.
So why is it that... Or how has it come about that you're concerned that you might only have access to half the water that you need to frostfight?
That's what I gathered from the application, and that's how it is explained to me. And I'm just really concerned because this is my livelihood. Mm. I don't have another source of income. And I cannot sue the god because they had too much rain and they lost all the crop last year. If I had that power, I wouldn't be sitting here and asking that I need water.
Hmm. Well, Plan change 7, which is the plan change we are considering in this hearing, the intention is not to restrict water use or reduce water use from that which has historically been taken. Mm-hmm. So insofar as there's a concern that you are only going to be able to get half of the water, that's not something that Plan Change 7 is seeking to achieve at this point in time. So perhaps you and others in the room, I think it's important to understand that the intention, or one of the intentions behind Plan Change 7 is to reflect historical water use over this next six-year period, so that during that period the council can then put in place its new water plan, where the understanding about how much water will be available into the future will be considered. So it's not the role of this plan, but it'll be certainly something to be considered into the future.
Just I would like to ask one question, if I'm allowed. Why 6 years? Why not 10 years? Because all the regional plans and all the councils are 10 years. Why 6 years?
Well, it doesn't. The process doesn't normally involve you getting to ask me questions.
Well, but, someone has to ask a question.
If you were going to make a submission, explain. I think. Well, how do you want to handle that?
The risk of giving evidence from the bar. I'm happy to proffer an answer just to assist with the understanding here, in that the six-year period of time is the period of time that the council will need to develop its new plan, and the new plan will hopefully have, it will have in it the various limits which we'll be applying in terms of answering questions about how much water is going to be available into the medium and into the longer term, and what the uses of land in terms of the effects of land use on and water quality will have. So the 6 years is about the period of time necessary for that piece of work to be undertaken, and for the certainty that everybody's looking for hopefully to be realised.
And is there a cost? The other aspect is cost, because even we didn't made any money, but we're still forking out all the unnecessary cost, which now is just obsolete because you're not taking those reports at all. And what is going to happen after 6 years? We have to go through the same process again. That means we can't sell the land, because without water and all this uncertainty, no one is going to buy the land. And a bank manager, he's not happy. He's already said, you're already in the shit. Just don't put yourself into deep shit. So that's the concern is there. That's fair enough. We all need water, and it all has to be restricted, and water quality is there. But if it hasn't affected the land or the water quality, according to the reports, what is going to affect in 6 years' time?
Now, I understand that really to be the submission that you're making to the court and the concerns that you hold, so I don't propose to answer any of your submission by way of a response now, but I understand that the concerns that you're expressing and the concerns that have been expressed by a number of people in the community. I would be interested in understanding how, in practice, the water rights that are held both by you and others in the catchment have been exercised. So we've heard that your orchards are perhaps some of the bigger consumers of water.
Only in frost fighting.
Only for frost fighting.
Because for irrigation, the orchard has drippers, underlines, which... And all the blocks are got separate wells, so you can irrigate one block efficiently. That means everyone can use water on the same time. But with the frost fighting, because the requirement is more, on that time, if council decide to cut down quota into half, that means I got bare land, half of the bare land.
So when, let's say it's, I'm going to say October, is October frost fighting season?
Sometime we start in August.
August. Mm. So let's say we've hit frost territory and you need to take some water for frost fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Practically, how does it work? Do you get in touch with the others?
At that time, no one else used irrigation. So the intake we got is open intake. It just water runs in the creek. If you use it, it keep filling. Otherwise, just go back to the creek. So this pond is not big enough to hold water. It probably lasts 1 hour. So it has to be continuous. So it is enough water on a creek on that time of the year. There is no restriction.
So does the problem occur in relation to frost fighting later in the season when water is also being taken for irrigation?
That usually happen in autumn, you know, the irrigation. And then when we do roster, we do communicate. There's only five of that pipeline, which is 200 millimeter pipeline, which is all 80 years old, and it's working fine. There's no problem with the irrigation at all. But whatever rate we got at the moment is enough. We got 83.6 liter a second. But according to new law, they're going to cut it to 43 liters a second. And that means we only got half the quota, what we're doing.
How was it? I'm just interested to understand your understanding about only having half of the water. So where's that come from?
That's the application I read, because I'm a little bit blind on that, because and this is the skim. I skimmed through the application, and that's what when they put the submission, that's what was there. That that's going to be under the hydrology report. That's what is going to be your quota.
So this
and
is
our consultant will answer those questions. Who our consultant who made the report will answer all these questions. Because I'm not qualified. What I'm just saying, what I have read.
So it's a timing issue, possibly.
But potentially, and it may also be on the replacement application.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
A replacement application under perhaps a whole
catchment,
thinking, where you're going from 80 to 40, you know, divide by two, but that's not what PC7 is trying to drive you towards. So there's a timing issue there. Mm. Who's your consultant?
Mike Kelly. Mr. Kelly.
Is it Kelly?
He was here. He's gone, I think.
Okay. Right. Possibly, it's over to you, but possibly get your consultant to talk to Mr. De Pulsmaker, Regional Council's planner, who's well abreast of where the experts for all sites have got to, we're all and the direction that of travel in relation to PC7. I can see why you would feel sick at the proposition of losing half your water on a replacement application. I understand that. That's not where PC7 is driving, but that might have been the initiative for the whole of Coal... which creek are you on? Coal Creek. That might have been a whole of catchment approach.
I think I'm you're correct. Sure. It reverts back to a hydrology report that was done in our initial application. And now with Plan Change 7, we're possibly more heading down the renewal for 6 years with what you've got.
Yep.
Sort of line, as opposed to going to a hearing and justifying the amount of water you should be getting. Is that my understanding? My understanding is that, you know, that most people will be applying to get the water that they've been taking over the last 5 years, as opposed to maybe going to a hearing and trying to justify what they should be getting with hydrology reports and aqualink studies and such like. And I think that's where that came from.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I still think it would be... There's room for that conversation. It's over to you, but, you know.
Yeah, sure.
It's if the pals make us not going anywhere so for the next 2 days. There's room for conversation as between the two experts as to what this plan change is trying to do and perhaps what that application is trying to do. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't know anything about the application and perhaps what you were aiming for.
Initially, we looked at going down a non-complying route and going to a hearing, and now we're probably altering the application to not to simply going to a 6-year renewal with a view to dealing with that stuff in 6 years' time, basically.
And that's really the signal that the regional council's giving you is deal with it in 6 years' time. Now, a lot of people that do not find that palatable for a whole host of reasons, but that would be the signal being given here in this plan change. Given that your consultant's here and Mr. De Palsmaker's here, I think it's, you know, worthwhile having a conversation to see where to get an update in terms of where the experts are travelling with that schedule on PC7.
Yes, and in particular, if it's Plan Change 7 that's having the effect of halving the volume of water, then that's something I'm sure Mr. De Palsmaker would want to know about.
It shouldn't be, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the task that the court set them was to work on that exact problem. All right. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think I just be honoured. Just think the livelihood. I know we all need water. Everyone in this room are here for water. And water is going to be the scary part if we don't manage it efficiently. And we're going to run out of water. But at the same time, if we are going to hurt the growth, then we can't do anything. I mean, 6 years, okay, that's fine. We can't do anything for 6 years because we have to sit and wait. Property process, I can't sell my orchard because I would like to. If someone comes and say, okay, I want to buy your orchard, what you paid for, I'll be happy to give it away. But when 6 years, sword is hanging on your head, you don't know whether you're going to get water or not. 6 years, I'm just stuck. With no money. And I can't go to government and ask for benefit because I'm self-employed. And they don't consider that, whether I got income or not. So other people on the same room as well. And bank managers, they laugh at you when you go and say, and they said, oh, told you not to go into this growing business. For ordinary person like me, who have no law degree or no accounting degree, and they just only rely on land. And where else we go? I mean, what we got? Without water, we can't grow. And we can't employ people. I mean, if we look at everyone, every single one on this room is employing someone. And they're providing tax, and that sort of thing. And here, council, here, I'm not against council, but we spent $117,000 for the submission, and on the same time, we're paying council to slap us, which is not fair, because when you take all this money, what we're earning, out of our pocket, what left? Nothing. I'm living in a tin shed, which is leaking. And I can't go somewhere, I can't get help, because all the money is spent on council. And here council staff
comes on a flash car, which we pay for it, and they just come and slap you. You can't do that. Which, I know, council is, court is here to see what is black and white, what is written there, black and white, but it's deep down, it is affect the soul. The whole idea is we all need water. But if there's enough water there, it's not causing any problem for the last 80 years or 100 years. When the deemed permits were entered on the coal mining, it hasn't. And why we have to go through, I mean, I fully understand that, okay, we need fresh water, and this is going to be a resource. So it is, to me, it's a controlling mechanism to control people. Okay, you're only going to get, that's what it is. And there's no room for development. I can't do anything for 6 years. I can't get out of this growing business for 6 years. I would love to. And on my age, I don't like to be climbing trees. I would like to sell that place and go in a rest home. Well, I don't have to worry about it. The water is provided and they go collect it and go to big reservoirs, all that. They just clean the shit and they just give it back to you. And over here we got clean water which we can use. And we, someone, it is for everyone. And as long as it's not degrading, as long as we are careful, as long as we are following the regulations and we say, okay, we have to use the water efficiently, that's what we're doing as a witcherist. Okay, as farmers, they got restrictions. They have to say that, okay, you have to provide some sort of mechanism that is not polluted. That's what they're doing. And then, at a sudden, we got laws, and they're just telling us, no, that's not right. I'm not here. I'm just an ordinary person. I'm not. I haven't made the law. I'm a law-abiding. This is my first time in my whole life I've sat in front of a judge. And there is two way. Either you take our livelihood or just consider that, okay, our livelihood, the way we make money is good as well, because if we can't make money, we can't pay council rates and all, and then employment. At the moment, I had 7 people employed. I paid 7 people wages and then pack houses. I have paid over $100,000 on wages plus the packing and their cost. If I'm a small, imagine the big ones. If everyone got restrictions, they have to cut everything down. Where the economy is going to go? This water, it is, without that, we can't go anywhere. But on the same time, taking that, we can't go anywhere either. So this is a court to decide, which to balance. They have to think about our point of view, and they then think about the environmental impact as well. So this, my submission is that, so just consider us.
And we will. You know, the problem for Otago is that there are so many, at the moment they appear a conflicting points of view. And I'm not sure that they are in conflict, but necessarily in conflict. I do think that for the most part, people participating in this hearing want the same outcomes for the environment. But it doesn't seem that... it seems that primary sector farmers have been travelling down the road that they've been set upon. And as you say, you're law-abiding.
you're doing what you've been asked to do in making your contribution, and now there's a different contribution which may be asked, and that's the step that, or the place that we're asked, that we're in, that there may be a different contribution which is asked for, which is frustrating because you're doing everything that you've been asked to do. And the message, and I've heard this from many parties, is that, farming's tarred with a black feather, and yet it's doing everything that it's been asked to do. So I understand the real grievance and sense of frustration to be in the place that you are in, because actually other regions are in the same position and have the same sense of frustration and anger, actually. The question is, what are we to do about it? Are we to say, what are we to do about it? And we're standing in the crossroads, and that is difficult. And it's difficult for a whole host of people, not just primary sector, with no easy answers, and certainly not answers which will please everybody, because they won't, whatever they are. All right. Anything arising?
No, thank you, Your Honour.
Okay. Very good. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming. I really appreciate it. Now, there's one other witness that I'm told we need to get through today because he's got timing difficulties, and that's Mr. Gillespie.
Could you tell the court your full name, please?
Kenneth Mackay Gillespie.
And are you here representing yourself and Hawkton Idaburn Irrigation?
I am.
Could you tell us what your role is in relation to Hawkton Idaburn Irrigation?
I'm chair of Hawkton Idaburn Irrigation Company.
All right. Can you show us, you're farming?
Not so much now.
Well, can you? There's a plan behind you of the Manahinakea catchment. Could you show us the Hawkton Idaburn race that is managed by the company, and also where you are located?
The Hawkton Idaburn race is the pink line that runs from above the Falls Dam, and I think you may have seen that, Your Honour, yesterday. Mm-hmm. Runs for 105 k's along the base of the Idaburn, round as far as Naseby, and there is a drop down the Ider Valley, down the west side, and also includes the area below the Idaburn Dam.
Mm-hmm. Right, well, before we go too much further, we should probably swear you in.
Sorry. We haven't sworn
him. No, we've done
that.
Oh, you have? I can't
hear. Oh. All right.
Very good.
None of us noticed.
We're very efficient.
Yes.
Smooth
well,
and efficient.
What I should have done then while the registrar was passing is hand up a statement that Mr. Right. Gillespie wishes to read. Do you have a copy, Ken?
I do, thank you.
Excellent. Well, I haven't given one to my friends, by the way. No, I don't remember, Mr. Gillespie. Did you file evidence, or is this just the statement that you've got in front of us here?
I did file evidence, Phil, and that should be before you, I think.
Yes.
Is it before you?
Just hold on a second. Just got to look that one up.
It was just on the submission form.
Oh, do you mean the original submission?
The original submission, that's all. Yes.
Right, yeah. Okay, yeah. All right. So the court has that, but there wasn't a separate brief of evidence that...
No.
All right. So the evidence that you want to give today is the sheet that we've now got in front of us.
That's right.
Excellent. Well, then, what I will do then is simply ask you to read it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Your Honour, Commissioners. Throughout the submission process, I've heard Mr Moore suggest concerns that irrigators would ramp up their extractions to justify larger takes. I'm very concerned to hear the statement, as we are fully allocated, there is no more water available, and therefore the ramping up of takes is simply not possible. If anyone takes more water than they're entitled to, they steal it from their neighbours, and believe me, they'll not get away with that for very long if they wish to remain living in the area. The areas irrigated in the main, there have been some minor changes, relate back to the areas signed up when the schemes were started when the gold mining wound down. And the government, through the Mines Department in 1922, came to the farmers and said that we have all this water conveying infrastructure in place, how would you like to use it for irrigation? As the mining had wound down and there was a shortfall on the government balance sheet. Most said they would sign up for what would make the scheme work. Some said they would take as much as possible, and the Mines Department ascertained the amount those farmers would receive. Generally, not more than 20% of the land that they farmed was irrigable. Those areas still remain today, and it's only with more efficient application methods that a larger area of those original farms is now irrigable. The available shareholding has not increased in our scheme since 1929. Plan Change 7 is really putting a lot of pressure on those wishing to apply the water more efficiently, and it is not bankable for development, purchase or sale, because the banks will not loan on short-term consents, as we heard this morning from Mrs. Groundwater. To apply the water more efficiently, farmers have to borrow the development money, which cannot be done under Plan Change 7 because of the short-term consents. There has been very little irrigation development over the last two or so years because of the long-term water insecurity. We have stated for a long time that we would assist the ORC through the water right renewal process, but to no avail, and now we find ourselves here at a totally unrealistic cost to try and achieve continuation of some semblance of productive farming. It is worthy of mention that prior to 2011, the ORC used to consult with ORUG if a water right in the area was applied for renewal to check that we had no issues with them processing that renewal. That no longer happens. One of the submitters was concerned about there being no water in the Iderburn below State Highway 85. That has been occurring as long as I have lived there, 70 years this year. The Iderburn stream was not on the old catchment board maps from State Highway 85 to just above its confluence with the north branch of the Iderburn, or Hills Creek as it's more commonly known, and was only included as a creek on the current maps in recent years, as it is historically dry more than wet. Even now, we watch the Iderburn west of Atturihua very carefully over the summer months and reduce the irrigation takes often, just to keep the Iderburn alive by supplementing it with water from the upper Manuhirakia. And a little aside to that, Your Honour, is just perhaps that I've got quite an incentive to keep that Iderburn going now because of the people who are living in that township. Mm. We've had a number of new people come into the township and have quite high values on that creek. The open race running along the base of the Hawkden range from just east of the Amerima Saddle to Naseby was built between 1872 and 1877 and is 105 k's long and was constructed because of the shortage of water for mining in Naseby.
Just a couple of questions of clarification, if I may. Yes. On the plan behind you, you identified the Hawkden-Iderburn race.
Yes.
And you've indicated that the Hills Creek or the Iderburn is supplemented from time to time.
Yes.
Can you explain by reference to the map behind you how that physically works?
We drop water. We pick up our water just along the base of the Hooktons all the way through. Just from each gully, mm-hmm. we pick up a little bit from each gully. Our main measuring point is just in here at the head of the Ida Valley. And we tip water from that main race down here and pick it up again and convey it down there. That's Hills Creek running down through here. Well, that's it running there. That's the where we drop the water down. So that's Hills Creek running down through here. The Idaburn between State Highway 85 and its confluence with Hills Creek is often dry. Every year it is dry. We struck a situation some years ago when we were desperate for water for stock out of the Idaburn Dam.
Yes. If you finish with the map, can you come back to the microphone?
Sorry,
it makes it easier to pick up.
My apologies. Just by word of clarification, Your Honour, we did strike a situation some years ago when we were absolutely desperate to get water down to the Idaburn Dam. Mm. We tipped it down the Idaburn Creek. It was 10 heads, and a head of water is 28.4 litres a second, so it was 284 litres a second. We tipped down that Idaburn Creek for 2 weeks, and it never got to the Idaburn Dam. It just disappeared into the gravels, because there's a colossal body of gravels mm. in that upper Idaburn mm-hmm. area.
I want to ask you about your own experience with identifying irrigation areas.
Yes.
For properties that haven't converted to spray,
yes.
do you see any complexities in being able to reliably identify irrigation areas between 2017 and 2020?
Not too complex. It's easy enough to do. Mm. You can do it on a map pretty easily.
And lastly, do you have any experience in the exercise of priorities in the catchments you're familiar with?
In the catchments I'm familiar with, in our catchment in particular, there are no priorities at all. We did have one, but it has since lapsed, and they're now part of the scheme. But otherwise, there are no priorities over us in our scheme. And I think it's possibly worthy of mention, Your Honour, if you will indulge me just momentarily, is that Hoekton Idaburn went through the water right renewal process back in 2002, mm-hmm. and we were granted, with conditions, mm-hmm. 35 years then, so they don't actually expire until 2037.
Yeah. Thank you. Nothing further.
Thank you.
Thank you. Questions?
Just in relation to the Hoekton Idaburn scheme, does that operate under a standalone water permit held by the company?
We have a multitude of water permits, Mr. Moore.
Are each of those permits held by the company?
Yes.
And insofar as water is then supplied to individual owners and occupiers of land, is that controlled under a water supply agreement?
Yes, we have rosters that supply water to the different irrigators. Some of those irrigators are on constant supply. Some of them are on a variable supply. Those supplies relate back to, as I say, to that original signed up area.
And in terms of those underlying water permits, my friend asked you about the existence of priorities, and I understand you to say that priorities aren't an issue in relation to these water takes. There simply
no.
aren't any that remain.
No.
And finally, the water permits that are held and exercised by the scheme were granted for a 35-year term back in 2002, was
yes,
it?
Yes, that's correct.
And so those permits aren't captured by Plan Change 7 in that they don't expire
no.
Prior to 2025.
No, that's right.
Thank you. No further questions.
Thank you.
Have you got any questions, Commissioner?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Can I just check one point, because it's been eating away at me. Did you say a head is 28 litres per second?
28.4, yes, sir.
Thank you. That's what I calculated. So thanks for confirming that. That was my only question, Your Honour.
And I have no questions, and I thank you very much for your evidence. It's, you've given detailed submissions on the relief that you'd like to see, and
because I've read your submission as well, I think some of it has been or is being worked on, if you like, with the technical conference, but certainly technical experts, but certainly not everything. So I'm well aware of the fact that you're also looking for specific relief.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And can I make a closing comment?
Sure.
Your Honour, I am very, very concerned about this whole process. The cost of it is absolutely horrendous. And unfortunately, my name's on the bottom line on a lot of it, and that really worries me, really does.
When you say this process, just PC7 or, you know, just this hearing?
The
before
hearing
the court or a lot of other things? When you
No,
the, hear,
the hearing process, Your Honour.
What do you mean by your...
I'm sitting as chair of ORUG.
Oh, of ORUG.
A Tug of Water Resource Users Group as well. So that's why my concern is very, very great with the costs that we are incurring.
All right. I don't think I picked up that you were the chair of ORUG. No wonder you're worried about costs. Because I'm thinking, you know, thus far, Mr. Gillespie, you haven't prepared any evidence apart from this page,
no,
so you're
I've
pretty
left
economical.
Everyone else, I've left everyone else with the ORAC submission.
Okay, right. No, I'm with you now. I understand what you're saying. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I think that's us for today.
Yes, it is. Just casting the eyes forward to tomorrow, I wonder whether if any of the submitters to be heard tomorrow, if they have pre-prepared some material that they intended to circulate, whether we might have that overnight and read it too.
That would be really helpful if that was actually possible. And I know that Mr. Cooper has also sent out an all points bulletin. People, please provide a copy. Our printing has with us down in the afternoon, but people should be providing a copy. But have we got any written material to come for people today that you're aware of, any email documents?
I'm not aware of any, Your Honour, unless the registry.
You've not received anything, so so I'm not sure who's in the room, but Mike Kelly, That would only be Mike Kelly, Donald Young, perhaps Gallup, Maniatoto Irrigation Company, Gavin Hurley, whether they're here and whether they have any documents. The Mahollans. Anybody? No.
Sorry, Martin, would you give me attachment for Terry Davis?
Terry Davis. Very good. Okay. Okay. So we'll circulate that so we can... You got... copies of that? Yeah. Okay, so we'll circulate that so we can read it.
I can give the court Mr. and Mrs. Smith's documents that they were going to produce this afternoon, some of which you've already seen on the wall.
Smith's documents, that's very good. And you're going to think about a witness to provide input, outputs to the Marahita Care system, particularly if there's a schematic. And I had wondered why that could not go through your witness, Jan Manson, if she's available.
Well, yes, I could ask her about that. I'm not going to be here tomorrow myself, and I don't know whether Mrs. Manson is going to be here either. So in terms of the provenance of what's been provided to the registrar, that's been provided, as I think was indicated, to her from... from Mr. Williams. So I don't know that Mrs. Manson is going to be able to produce it in the sense of being the author of the document.
No.
Only it's come through her hands.
So just to backfill you there, Mr. Moore, we had Miss Manson who gave really helpful evidence 2 days ago about how the Matahita catchment as a whole works, about the critical flows at the dam, at Ofa, and also at the campsite. And then the interrelationships between the irrigation company, the Manahita Kia Irrigation Company, the interrelationships between various schemes and major companies in that catchment and how broadly it works. And it was really helpful as an orienteering way into this particular catchment. So that transcript will be with you shortly.
Yes.
And one of the things that she mentioned was that there were input-output schematics that could even simplify it further for us.
Okay. Ms. Mallop has encouraged me to review the transcript and watch the video from that session from yesterday.
It was very helpful. Yep.
Yes. What I understand there is to be produced is a map, a copy of which I do have in front of me at the moment. Mm. What I'm minded to do is have a look at that overnight. Mm. I am most likely to agree to having it admitted by consent as an exhibit for Mr. McKean of Ms. Jan. Matson?
I think the point that Mr. Page was making is that the author might have been Roger Williams, the raceman. Yeah, who's not giving evidence.
I see.
Aha, so that's the... It's like... So you may admit it by consent, or you may want somebody to comment on it, in which case we'd need a witness.
Yes. Will any of tomorrow's witnesses know anything about this?
There are two, and I think you've only got one of them there. One of them is actually a printout of the Goldsum schematic, which is actually produced for the Regional Council by... All right. Can I just... I'll discuss this with Council after you rise. I think we might make more progress doing it that way.
So. Okay, no, that's fine. So think about that. How does it come into court by consent, through a witness? Do you need somebody giving you an orientation through the schematic? But I'm hoping that schematic is going to be really helpful in terms of providing us base information. Might also be helpful for the priorities question, could well be helpful for that question. At least in that catchment, not every catchment, but that catchment maybe. So, and then I understand reading tonight is Terry Davis and Mr. and Mrs. Smith. We have those documents.
Do we have the Smith?
No. We do. We do.
Right.
So that'll be to us and we'll do the reading overnight.
Yes. Yep.
Then Mr. Cooper will work his magic on the schedule for tomorrow. But as you can see, sometimes we lurch forward at great speed and then sometimes slow down again. Yep.
Indeed.
Okay. In terms of the rate that we're going, what's key to that is that we are really, and I can't emphasise it enough, receiving summary evidence. About 10 minutes is about the guideline I gave a few months ago, and rather than producing whole new briefs, because it's just difficult for the court to process and the lawyers to process and think about questions, and it's slowing the schedule down. Yeah, it's slowing the time down, yeah. And we've only got so much. It's important that we get through people in Cromwell. Very good.
So we'll just await.
Adjourned until 7:30 for us.
Oh.
Yeah.
It'll be chilly, I suspect.
Pardon?
It'll be chilly.
It'll be chilly, yeah. All good. All right. That's just 7:30 for the court tomorrow morning. Nobody else.
So we're a 9:30 again?
You're a 9:30 court, yep. Okay, very good.
Do you want to please?
We're adjourned. All rise.